Sally and I got back last week from 18 days in the UK. We did a lot of walking over that holiday, as some of you know. And I wore a hat. I wore this hat on my trip. No, not that one. Not that one. This one. This hat here. It's a what do they call this? They have it's a cadet cap style. It's not a ball cap. It's but similar, right? I mean, it's got the same basic outline. What do you notice about this cap, though? It doesn't say, well, let's be more general. It doesn't say anything on it, right? It has no logo of it at all on it. And I've never been a big fan of wearing hats with logos on it. I don't want to be a walking advertisement for some business or some political cause or something else. And I figure if a company wants me to wear their logo, they should pay me for it, right? Don't they pay for other forms of advertising? Why shouldn't they pay for that too? At least give me the hat for free. And they used to do that, but I don't see that happening so much anymore. So I figure for myself at least, no way, I'm not doing it. So I wear a logo-free cap when I go about things. You know, it's interesting in England, I noticed that you don't see that many people wearing ball caps or even cadet caps out and about. It might be because baseball's not that popular in the UK. I noticed that when I looked on ESPN in England, and there's no mention of Major League Baseball at all. There's cricket, and there's rugby, and there's football, soccer. There's even the NFL on their front page in England, but there's no mention of baseball. It has really a very small following in the UK. So you can imagine my surprise when we spent a couple of days in London before returning to Canada, and I saw quite a few people in London wearing that cap. Or the, why don't you go to the next one too? Or this cap here. New York Yankee ball caps. And it got me scratching my head. Like, because I know baseball's not that popular in the UK, and I didn't see any other Major League Baseball caps being worn by people. I saw no Blue Jays caps, I can guarantee that. I didn't see any Boston Red Sox caps or Los Angeles Dodgers cap or any other team. It was just New York Yankees caps I saw out and about. So I ended up chatting with a couple of people in the downtown who were wearing Yankees caps. I just went over and started chatting with them. I saw this one guy who was sitting near to us, and I asked him, "Do you know anything about the cap you're wearing, about the team that's on the cap, the logo of the team on the cap, that they're the New York Yankees?" And he goes, "Well, I don't know that." And I said, "Do you know anything about Major League Baseball?" "No, never." "Do you know anything about baseball?" No. So why are you wearing the cap then?" And he just kind of shrugged his shoulders. I said to him that I was a big baseball fan in North America, and that my team hates the team that's on his cap, right? And we both laughed about it, right? Because I think he knew I wasn't threatening him. And I had this same kind of interaction with a young woman who was wearing a New York Yankees cap, that one there. And I asked her the same kind of questions, and I got the same kind of response from her. She didn't know anything about the Yankees. She didn't know anything about Major League Baseball. She didn't know anything about baseball, and she didn't care. And so I'm thinking to myself, wow, the Yankees have got a good market here. They got people wearing their stuff, and they have no clue what it's about. And the Yankees, some of the Yankees' sportswear has transcended their sport. This is the dream of every merchandiser, right? When people are wearing your stuff and they have no clue what it's about. And they don't know anything about the game. They don't know anything about the franchise, the team. That's impressive. But at the same time, it had me scratching my head because people were putting a message on their head with absolutely no understanding or appreciation of what it represented. I don't know about you, but I want to know the message I'm sending out into the world. And you're sending out a message into the world when you wear a cap, whatever cap it is. Even a cap that has no logo is, in a sense, sending out a message into the world. It's making a statement, even if it has no words or no symbols on it. And I think coming to church on a Sunday morning is making a statement. It's making a statement, too. It's, in a sense, you've put on a cap of sorts. especially in today's world. In today's world, where people, at least as a habit, don't attend church like they might have 30 or 50 or 100 years ago. You know, you being here is countercultural. Think about that for a second. You are the counterculture. You're running against the grain of the world just by being here. You're making a statement by coming. So what brings you here? When everybody went to church, then maybe the statement people made when they went was one of conformity, doing one what was expected of one. I'm not sure. There's probably many reasons, but that could have been a big reason. But today, when the majority of people stay away from church, you guys are the rebels. Look around. You're the rebels. And your presence here is making a statement, and don't think your neighbors don't notice. They do. But what statement are you making being here? Do you know what it is? Do you know why you are here? Do you know what you are saying by being here? Back in the early 1950s, C.S. Lewis wrote a book called Mere Christianity. Very famous book. And it was based on a series of informal talks that he gave on the BBC during World War II. He talked about the essential markers and features of the Christian faith. That's what these radio talks were about. He gave these radio talks during a time of great calamity when people were seriously threatened with the humanity of war. And in both the radio talks and then later his book, Mere Christianity, Lewis laid out the basic Christian story to people in a very simple and accessible way. It was very straightforward. C.S. Lewis was not interested in denominationalism. He wasn't interested in the unique ways that different traditions developed the Christian story. He wasn't looking for esoteric teachings or abstract philosophy. He was interested in describing the essential features that made the Christian story what it was. Anyone who was wanting to understand it in a deeper way could easily understand it through C.S. Lewis's writing. And this was done during the 1940s and the 1950s when the majority of the population was in church on a Sunday morning. And when 80% of the population identified themselves as being Christian. And yet, even during a time like that, when many people were in church, people still needed help in understanding the basic Christian story. Somehow they had missed it. It hadn't developed naturally in them, which is why C.S. Lewis did his talks on the radio and later wrote his book, Mere Christianity. Do you know what the basic elements of the Christian story are? Could you tell the basic Christian story to someone if you had to? If one of your neighbors who had seen you go to church week in and week out, who saw you put the cap of going to church on, if they approached you and asked you what Christianity was about, could you explain it to them in a straightforward and simple manner? If they asked what the Christian faith was all about, could you answer them with a basic confidence? This is what it's about. Kind of makes me think of Charlie Brown Christmas special when Charlie Brown's pulling his hair out asking what's the meaning of Christmas, and Linus goes on stage and says, I can explain it to you, Charlie Brown. And he does it in a very simple and concise way by quoting from the Gospel of Luke. Einstein said, you do not really understand something unless you can explain it to your grandmother. So true, actually. Do you know what the Christian story is about sufficiently to be able to explain it to your grandmother or someone else's grandmother? I appreciate that when we learn something, we often first learn it intuitively. We're not always very conscious about what it is we know. And we often find it hard to put words to it. And that's pretty much true of anything in life. And at some point, we might begin to put words to it. as we try to explain it to others. But when it first comes out, it often comes out in a somewhat convoluted manner, in a torturous way with people. We say too many words and we get tripped up and we get jumbled up, and it doesn't really make a lot of sense when we first try to explain something to someone else for the first time. So it's important to go back to the basics again and again and again and again until we master it sufficiently so that we can explain it in simple terms and simple ways to other people. And in doing so, we begin to understand it better for ourselves. When I can explain something to you in a simple and easy manner that you can understand, it most certainly makes it easier for me to understand it too. In fact, it's in our sharing with others that we often grow in our understanding, whatever it might be. And when we don't share what we know with people, and we don't learn how to communicate it in an easy and simple way, we often don't grow in our understanding of it with others and with ourselves, especially with ourselves. So you're here today. In a sense, you put on the Christian ball cap in a sort of way. You've made a statement by being here. You're communicating something by being in this place and not some other place. And the vast majority of you come to Trillium on a fairly regular basis. And you're smart, capable people. Like, you really are smart, capable people. So I ask you again, do you know the basic Christian story sufficiently to be able to explain it simply to someone else, to someone's grandmother? And the test whether you can explain Christianity to a grandmother is found in actually doing it. Can you do it? And if the answer is no, understand I don't fault you for it. It's simple, but it's not easy always. It's surprisingly hard at times to take something and simplify it down in a way that we can communicate it with others. And it's probably been that way for a long time. You know, that people come to church, they absorb it in, but they can't really explain what it is they're doing. They can't explain what they're actually living out in their life in a way to someone else. And because they can't explain it to someone else, in some ways, it gets lost in translation on the inside, too. That's why C.S. Lewis did his talks on the BBC, and he wrote his book back in the 40s and 50s, because even then, when churches were full of people, people needed a simple and straightforward explanation of the Christian faith, and they couldn't find it easily in their church experience. Interestingly, mere Christianity has grown in popularity over the past 75 years. It's one of the most popular written Christian books of all time. Even in the last 20 years, it's sold 4 million copies. And it's been passed around over and over again between people. It's in many libraries in our communities. I had a copy of it, and Sally went out and bought her own copy. She didn't know I had it. You know, so, I mean, even households can have more than one copy. And that means there's a lot of people who are yearning to learn the basic Christian story in a simple and straightforward manner. But I tell you, there's an even simpler and even more effective way to learn mere Christianity than reading C.S. Lewis's book, for most of us at least. And it's in taking the Alpha Course. Because the Alpha Course is essentially mere Christianity put into video and discussion format. It's put into a discussion and video format. That's what it does. Alpha takes C.S. Lewis's writing on mere Christianity, and it converts it into a video and discussion format for modern people, because that's how we mostly access our information today. Alpha is not interested in denominationalism. There's no Alpha denomination out there, and there never will be. It's not interested in the unique ways that different traditions have developed the Christian story. There are Pentecostals and mainline Protestants and Roman Catholics featured in the video. Alpha is not interested in esoteric teaching or abstract thinking. What Alpha does is teach the essential elements of the Christian story to people. They do so in a manner that people can understand, and then, if so desired, share with others. And Trillium is about to embark on our fifth Alpha course a weak Tuesday. North Bramley United Church in Brampton has been using Alpha longer than we have, so we asked them for a reference for Alpha. And one of their pastors, Jamie Holtham, graciously sent this video to us. So let's watch what he said to us. This is directed to Trillium.
There, my name's Jamie Holtham, and I'm from North Bramley United Church, NBUC, and Sally asked us to do a little video just to share the impact of Alpha in our particular experience in our particular church. Just want to say for us, Alpha has become a core part of our church's life. A large number of people in our church have taken Alpha. And more importantly, it's been a great way for us to reach out to new people and help people encounter Jesus many times for the first time. One of the big things for us is it's really not a discipleship program, meaning the same people take it over and over again. That can happen very easily. It's about evangelism and inviting culture and really working hard to have our hosts and helpers and leaders invite people who have never been to church before, people who are spiritually curious, people who don't believe, agnostics and even atheists. And we've seen the Alpha experience through the meals, the connections, the video, the conversation. We've seen open up doors that have just amazed us and awed us. So yeah, I can't really speak highly enough of Alpha. It certainly is a tool that we believe in and work very hard at. And if we can help you with anything else, glad to share that with you as well.
As you can see, Alpha's had a huge impact on North Bramley United Church. If you go there, and I'd encourage you to go there, it is a flourishing church community. It is a flourishing church community. You get the chance to feel what a church, flourishing church community is. It's when a congregation is made up of sufficient number of people who know the basic Christian story, they know it in its simple form, and they understand the importance of it, and they have confidence in their ability to share it with others. When this happens, there's a tipping point that comes to a church, and the congregation moves into a new phase of life. Sally and I, when we were in London, we decided to go visit Holy Trinity Brompton in London, England. Holy Trinity Brompton is, in a sense, the mother church of Alpha. Hey, Sam, have a seat, would you? Okay, thanks. Holy Trinity Brompton is the mother, in a sense, it's the church that designed and developed the Alpha Course and then sent it out into the world. And we were about an hour's walk away, or maybe 25 minutes subway ride away. So Sunday morning, just before we were about to leave on our return, we journeyed up to Holy Trinity Brompton for the 9:30 service. The sanctuary isn't really, actually, I think the sanctuary is more drab than ours. It's not a glorious building at all. It's a little bigger. I think it probably holds maybe about 400 people. It was totally packed with people. This is a church that's been using Alpha since the very beginning. It's been doing it for like 30 years now, 40 years, whatever it's been. And it was full. There wasn't a single empty seat in the whole church. But it wasn't just that it was full of people. It was that you could sense the presence of the awakened Christ in people who had come. Christ was awakened them. The Holy Spirit was alive in this church community in so many ways. It was a powerful thing. And when we left 11 a.m. to get back to the hotel and get our luggage so we could make a journey off into the airport at Heathrow, there was a whole line of people waiting to get into the 11:30 service. It already extended down the street. Now, here's the thing that Sally and I came away with after visiting Holy Trinity Brompton. Trillium is not far away from being that kind of church. We're not far away. We're a little down in numbers today, but over the summer, have had great attendance, in the spring, great attendance. We are not that far away as a church, spiritually speaking. A church where the awakened Christ is alive and present in such a way that it's unmistakable and unavoidable. Trillium is not far away from being the Spirit-filled church that the New Testament talks about over and over again. I came away from going to Holy Trinity Brompton encouraged for us, excited for us. Peter was writing to a group of churches that he had special responsibility towards. And in those early days, Christians were not well liked. People were afraid of this new sect that had appeared. They were afraid of what it represented. And because they didn't understand it, people tend to persecute what they don't understand. It was so important for those early followers of Jesus to know the Christian story in a manner simple enough to be able to explain it to others, to give expression to this story in their life circumstances by doing good to their neighbor, no matter who their neighbor was. And when people inquired about their hope and their enthusiasm, Peter reminded those he was writing to that they were to revere the Christ as Lord and then share the hope of their hearts, which is the Christian story, to share the Christian story, the hope of their hearts with their neighbor in a humble and gracious manner. And it's that simple pattern done over and over and over and over again, over again and again and again. This sharing this simple story with people in a gracious and humble way that allowed Christianity to first become the dominant religion of the Roman Empire and now the most numerous religion in the whole world today. There are more Christians than any other faith community. And at Trillium, all we need to do is the same thing that the church has done through countless time. Revere Christ as Lord. Learn the Christian story sufficiently in its simple form. Learn it sufficiently in a simple form that we can share it with our neighbor, whoever they might be, in a humble and gracious manner, and then allow the effect of us doing so to unfold in our community. When enough people at Trillium are doing this, the church shifts, Trillium shifts. Something powerful is unleashed, and we become that faith in bloom community, growing, thriving, serving together in Christ. That's why Alpha is so important for Trillium, just like it was and is for North Bramley, just like it was and is for Holy Trinity Brompton. It's so important for Trillium because it is the best way today that we know of for most people to learn the basic Christian story in its simple form. So would you consider joining our fall class? Because I suspect many of you don't know yet how to articulate the Christian story in its simple form. And yet, being able to do so is the critical element of our future life as a church community. So would you consider becoming part of this fall's Alpha program? I'm confident you will really like the experience. And you'll really come to appreciate the way Alpha allows you to embrace and understand and assimilate what Christianity is really about. And when you know the story, and that means when you have the cap on your head and you know why it's on your head, and you know what statement you're making to the world, when you know that, then you are in a good place.